According to August, if you've never seen a cluster of beehives first thing in the morning, you've missed the eighth wonder of the world. Picture these white boxes tucked under pine trees. The sun will slant through the branches, shining in the sprinkles of dew drying on the lids. There will be a few hundred bees doing laps around the hive boxes, just warming up, but mostly taking their bathroom break, as bees are so clean they will not soil the inside of their hives. From a distance, it will look like a big painting you might see in a museum, but museums can't capture the sound. 50 feet away, you'll hear it, a humming that sounds like it came from another planet. At 30 feet, your skin will start to vibrate. The hair will lift on your neck. Your head will say, "Don't go any farther," but your heart will send you straight into the hum, where you will be swallowed by it. You'll stand there and think, "I am in the center of the universe, where everything is sung to life." August lifted the lid off a hive. "This one is missing its queen," she said. I'd learned enough beekeeping to know that a hive without a queen was a death sentence for the bees. They would stop work and go around completely demoralized. "What happened?" I said. "I discovered it yesterday. The bees were sitting out here on the landing board looking melancholy. If you see bees loafing and lamenting, you can bet their queen is dead." So I searched through the combs, and sure enough, she was gone. I don't know what caused it. Maybe it was just her time. "What do you do now?" "I called the county extension, and they put me in touch with a man in Goose Creek who said he'd drive over with a new queen sometime today. I want to get the hive re-queened before one of the workers starts laying. If we get laying workers, we've got ourselves a mess." "I didn't know a worker bee could lay eggs," I said. "All they can do really is lay unfertilized drone eggs. They'll fill up the combs with them, and as the workers naturally die off, there are none to replace them." As she lowered the lid, she said, "I just wanted to show you what a queenless colony looked like." She lifted back the veils from her hat, then lifted mine back too. She held my gaze while I studied the gold flecks in her eyes. "Remember when I told you the story of Beatrix," she said, "the nun who ran away from a convent? Remember how the Virgin Mary stood in for her?" "I remember," I said. "I figured you knew I'd run away like Beatrix did. You were trying to tell me that Mary was standing in for me at home, taking care of things till I went back." "Oh, that's not what I was trying to tell you at all," she said. "You weren't the runaway I was thinking about. I was thinking about your mother running away. I was just trying to plant a little idea in your head."
"What idea?"
"That maybe Our Lady could act for Deborah and be like a stand-in mother for you."
The light was making patterns on the grass. I stared at them, feeling shy about what I was going to say. "I told Our Lady one night in the pink house that she was my mother. I put my hand on her heart the way you and the daughters always do at your meetings. I know I tried it that one time before and fainted, but this time I stayed on my feet, and for a while after that, I really did feel stronger. Then I seemed to lose it. I think what I need is to go back and touch her heart again." August said, "Listen to me now, Lily. I'm going to tell you something I want you always to remember, all right?" Her face had grown serious, intent. Her eyes did not blink. "All right," I said, and I felt something electric slide down my spine. "Our Lady is not some magical being out there somewhere, like a fairy godmother. She's not the statue in the parlor. She's something inside of you. Do you understand what I'm telling you?" "Our Lady is inside me," I repeated, not sure I did.
"You have to find a mother inside yourself. We all do. Even if we already have a mother,
We still have to find this part of ourselves inside. She held out her hand to me. Give me your hand. I lifted my hand and placed it in hers. She took it and pressed the flat of my palm up against my chest, over my beating heart. You don't have to put your hand on Mary's heart to get strength and consolation and rescue and all the other things we need to get through life, she said. You can place it right here on your own heart. Your own heart.